This episode of my podcast is sponsored by the birthplace of rock and roll. Yes, Sun Records has come out with a new book, and it is titled The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. It chronicles Elvis Presley's early days, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, B.B. King. It's just a great book. It chronicles nearly 70 years of rock and roll music. Sun Records has been there from the start. It chronicles the great night when the Million Dollar Quartet played. It chronicles all of Jerry Lee Lewis's sessions before he moved on. Elvis Presley's early days. The foreword is written by the late Jerry Lee Lewis. There are interviews with Jerry Lee up until his dying days. So this is just a great book to get, and I recommend you get it for $59.99. You could have over 220 pages of articles. You also have great photographs. It all around is a great book. And I'm a rock and roll nerd. You all know this. I've done episodes on Jerry Lee Lewis. I've talked about Elvis Presley. This book taught me things I didn't know. And it goes into the history that we didn't know about. All the singers that Sun Records had. Because, you know, the main four get the attention. But Sun Records had a great number of artists that were with them from their start that we didn't know about, that this book shines a light on. So again, I encourage you to get the Birthplace of Rock and Roll book for $59.99. If you would like more information, please visit sunrecords.com. They will answer all your questions. Again, I encourage you, if you want to learn more about rock and roll history, if you want a great book, if you want to see priceless photographs, if you want to hear what the late Jerry Lee Lewis said, again, this was the last book he ever was a part of, I encourage you to visit sunrecords.com and purchase The Birthplace of Rock and Roll. Again, sunrecords.com, Birthplace of Rock and Roll, and we thank them for being a sponsor. And now, let's get on to the episode.
You're listening to Calm Radio, a production of the students of the Belisario College of Communications at Penn State University. Calm Radio. News, sports, talk.
I'm Hayden Lewis, and I could play D1 hockey if I didn't tear my leg.
I'm Anthony Desher, and I could have played D1 hockey if I didn't stop in high school.
I'm Josh Bartosik, and I played for the Junior Kings when I was 8.
Does that make us eligible for D1 hockey?
Nope! But that does make us eligible to talk about it. From 3:10 to 3:40 every Friday, right here on Calm Radio.
Well, we all know that the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. But what about the quality of Isley's Chip Chahin? Or how Giant Eagle ran out of my favorite jumbo? Or how the Bucko's owner is a cheapskate? Or how all the potholes around Liberty have buses sinking underground? Either way, Steel Bridges has all that and more on Thursdays from 7 to 7:30 on Calm Radio. See you there.
Let me ask you a question. Do you like New York sports? Because I know I do. The Ben and Ben Show on Calm Radio, Thursday from 10:10 to 10:40, is the perfect show for you. We're going to talk all things New York sports, like will the Giants win a Super Bowl? Should Daniel Jones get MVP consideration? Will Zach Wilson ever figure it out? When will the Yankees beat the Astros? When will the Mets win the World Series? Find out on the Ben and Ben Show on Calm Radio, Thursdays 10:10 to 10:40.
You ever get home from work or classes, eat dinner, and 8 o'clock rolls around, and you don't know what to do? Do you think to yourself, I wonder how the latest MLB moves will affect the regular season? Or, I wonder how my favorite team will overcome its obstacles this season? Then tune into The Windup with Jason O'Connell and Aaron Jerkowitz on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 p.m., where you can get your daily fix of MLB news and hot takes here on Calm Radio.
College football might be over according to the schedule, but it's certainly not over according to the analytical line. I'm Josh Davis, and every Thursday I go live to give my analysis on your favorite college football team. Sure, Franklin might be bringing in some nice recruits and transfers, but you want to know what these guys are going to do on the field. You don't want to hear about simple stats and projections. You want to know what exactly it means for Storm Duck to replace Joey Porter Jr. Does it mean more interceptions, or does it mean giving up touchdowns on corner three up the seams? Get all the info and more on the analytical line Thursday mornings at 11 on Calm Radio.
This spring semester marks the final semester for Phone Booth's very own Joe Callahan Jr.
And Henderson, I mean, he's a rookie. He has to develop, but again,
Daryl Henderson?
Henderson's been there since Todd Gurley was there.
I have the Seattle Seahawks trading for the 3 pick and taking Wills.
Not at 3, no. Heck no.
My only issue would be we didn't address the O-line.
Again, with the we. Again, with the we.
Tune in every Thursday from 3:30 to 4:30 for the rest of this farewell tour.
What can I say? Mamba out.
Hey, Ashlyn, have you ever heard of Cast Iron Media?
Cast Iron Media? No, what's that?
It's a premier sports media and marketing company right outside New York City in Westchester, New York, and they're looking to hire Penn Staters for their summer internship program.
No way! You have got to tell me more.
As a former intern, I can assure you that this will be more than your typical internship. You'll have the opportunity to work with the marketing team on various campaigns, gain exposure to ad and sales operations, all while networking with experts in the industry.
That sounds awesome. Finally, an opportunity that really excites me. How do I apply?
That's easy. Email juliana.foliano at castiron.media for more information. Again, that's Juliana, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-A, .foliano, F-O-G-L-I-A-N-O, at castiron, C-A-S-T-I-R-O-N, .media, M-E-D-I-A.
There you go. Didn't have time to listen to Happy Valley Rally live on Comm Radio? Check us out on Spotify, where the weekly episodes will be posted from Tuesday's live shows under Happy Valley Rally. You can catch up on all the sports action you missed from college football, Penn State sports, NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, and more. So don't forget to catch Happy Valley Rally every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. or on Spotify.
Alex Ovechkin has overtaken Mr. Hockey.
Jacob, please stop talking about Ovechkin.
If he has less goals than Gretzky, he can't be the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Every time you say the O word, it makes my brain hurt.
If you want to hear more about this debate, tune into The Sin Bin, the greatest talk show on Comm Radio, every Wednesday from 12:10 to 1:10, with Jacob Cheris, Josh Bartosik, Anthony Desher, and Tim Rogers right here on Comm Radio.
Go listen to the Ben and Ben Show every Thursday morning on Comm Radio 1010 to 1040, where myself, Ben Wasserman, and Ben Taylor discuss everything about New York sports, including the Giants, Jets, Yankees, Mets, Rangers, Islanders, and the Devils. We would discuss important topics like, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? Will Zach Wilson ever be good in New York? And who will win a championship first, the New York Mets or the New York Yankees? Go listen every Thursday morning on Comm Radio.
Cash is an amazing thing, and it makes you feel like a king. Standing, looking at my stash, I fell into a pile of cash.
Cash, live on Comm Radio every Monday from 3:05 to 3:35.
Bored of listening to the same old music?
Yes.
Tired of searching and searching for a great new song?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tune in to 5 and 30, the best place to discover new music.
I can't wait to find new artists to obsess over.
Well, join us every Monday from 6:05 to 6:35 here on Comm Radio.
Third time is the charm, and XFL is back for the 2023 spring football season. And a ton of news is coming out from across the league, and you're going to need someone to navigate you through it all. And that someone is Mike Bulger here on Around the XFL, where he breaks down the latest news, standings, and rankings from across the league. Join him on Tuesday afternoons from 2:35 to 3:05 right here on Comm Radio.
With questions surrounding the future of the Yankees now and beyond the short porch, Justin Chevalella and Dylan Price have you covered with all things pinstripe related. Tune in to Bomber Boys, Friday at noon, here on Comm Radio.
If we're comparing the general manager and head coaching situation right now with the New York Jets and New York Giants, for me, it's no debate. It's Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. And let me tell you, I know what you're going to say, oh, first year. But let me just say this. Brian Daboll and Joe Shane took over a terrible cap situation. They basically got their team in the playoffs without Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney. Daniel Jones looks like, I think, comeback player of the year and has a bright future. For me right now, it's Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
I am going to say first year. Because it is only the first year, and you gotta wait and see what happens. But which team has the better superstars? Which team has the two Rookie of the Year candidates? And which team has the overall better roster? I know they couldn't stay healthy, and I know they need a quarterback, but I would take my guys, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, over
Shane, and Dayball, even though I love Dayball's facial hair, and he's an awesome guy on the sidelines.
Your team didn't show up.
I know
your
they didn't
show
up, but I still
your
think
team
they're
didn't
better.
Show up. Who's playing in the playoffs? But anyway,
you're
this is the
sad.
Ben and
Ben show,
and it starts right
now.
An incredible Thursday morning to you on the Ben and Ben Show. I am your host this week, Ben Taylor, joined alongside Ben Wasserman. The Super Bowl is come and gone, and you know what? We're not going to talk about it because none of our teams are in it, and this radio station has talked about it a lot this week. So, it's my favorite episode of the year, minus a world, unless the Mets or Yankees make it to the World Series. It's the, I like to call it the MLB preview. So, Evan Roberts, on his podcast, used to do the MLB preseason, where he would have people on to preview the Yankees and the Mets, and then they'd have a little friendly, I don't want to say betting because it's not that, but just like a competition to see who would get more correct. So that's what we're going to do in the second part of the show. We're going to preview the Mets also in the second part of the show, but first, it's the 27 championship, 27 rings. Haven't won a ring since we were in first grade, New York Yankees, and let's just send it over to Ben Wasserman. But first, how are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, so I'm doing good. Pitchers and catchers reported yesterday. I saw my man GC Gerrit Cole was in the house. He was throwing around over there in Florida. I saw my man Carlos Rodon, who got that big contract thrown around.
Didn't know
I
you
got
guys
a lot
buddy.
To talk about the Yankees. I'm a little annoyed about Cashman and how they've handled the Frankie Montas injury, but we'll get into that. To your original question, I'm feeling good because baseball season is here.
It has been perfect weather all around. So I sent you the show rundown. Because we're not talking about the Super Bowl anymore, I took that out right before we went on the air. Let's just get right into it. Let's go back to last season, how they did, and then go into free agency, and then go into your expectations. You have 3 minutes. I'm timing it.
3 minutes. It's
3 minutes
10,
and
12, and 35 seconds right now.
3 minutes and 30 seconds. I'll start you at the 45-second mark so I can time it better, but here you go. Go.
Okay, last season, the Yankees got off to the hottest start in baseball. They would look like they were going to be one of the greatest teams of all time, and then reality kind of kicked in. They got injured, and they just didn't play as good as they started playing. In the playoffs, they beat the Cleveland Guardians in 5 games. I thought they were going to beat them in 4. It was a little stressful, but they beat them in 5. Then came the Houston Astros, a team that the Yankees have never been able to beat, a team that the Yankees can never hit against, and the Yankees never came to play. They were extremely injured. They never really had a chance. They got swept on the home field, left a very sour taste in their mouth. Aaron Judge then became a free agent, and in the offseason, Aaron Judge got a massive contract with the Yankees. Other moves that the Yankees made in the offseason, as I said before, they got Carlos Rodon, so their pitching rotation is now stacked. They got Tommy Canley back, and I'm expecting a lot from him. Not only does he bring a great culture, great energy to that clubhouse, but I think he's going to be another great weapon for Aaron Boone to use in that bullpen, especially since Michael King is still out. They got Anthony Rizzo back, Andrew Benintendi left, and Brian Cashman got a new contract. Okay, that brings me to this rant right now. The starting rotation going into spring training looked like this. Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon, Luis Severino, Nestor Cortez, and at number 5, we all thought it was going to be Frankie Montas. Frankie Montas came to New York last season. He was going to be another playoff piece to help the Yankees win a championship. He was none of that. Every time he pitched, he wasn't good, and he was never even healthy to pitch in the playoffs. He had shoulder injury. So I've been thinking this whole offseason, why, if Frankie Montas is this injured and he can't pitch in spring training, why didn't he get surgery in October? Why didn't he get surgery before the playoffs? They waited. Oh, he's going to do some more tests. He's going to see some doctors. It comes out on the first day of spring training yesterday. He needs shoulder surgery, and he's out for the season. Ben Taylor, can you tell me how that makes sense? Since October, he's been dealing with a shoulder injury, and in February, They come out and say he needs surgery.
You got like 40 seconds. You can keep going if you need
okay.
to.
Okay. So I'm dumbfounded by that. I don't understand that. But anyway, starting rotation now looks like Cole, Rodon, Severino, Nestor, who's also injured, but he should be back for opening day. And then Domingo Herman's taking his spot. Some guys to look forward to in spring training.
I'll wrap it up. We're saving that for later.
Oh, okay.
Guys,
okay,
look
okay.
For you know that's in the rundown. I put that okay. in. So that's time. You actually saved yourself 5 seconds.
Wow. I got a lot more, though.
Don't worry. I'm going to start probing you now. All right. So you asked me a question about that Frankie Montas injury, correct? What was it again?
Yeah, it was a shoulder injury. This guy has had shoulder issues in Oakland. And I want to make this clear. I wanted Frankie Montas to become a Yankee. Many fans did. And now many fans are coming out and saying, this is a horrible trade. No. This was a good trade at the time. It's just how they handled his injury. That is what is horrible about the situation. Everybody wanted Luis Castillo. I get it. Cashman didn't want to give up the big guns. I didn't have an issue with that.
I kind of disagree with him on that because Volpe, who they didn't want to give up, I saw him play a lot because I interned with the Reading Phillies. They were there a big portion of July and August. They were there. Guy's overrated. And that's why he's not the highest ranked prospect anymore in the Yankee system.
Yeah, we'll see. That's Peraza. But anyway, so plan B, they got Frankie Montas. I was thrilled. Many other fans were thrilled. But how they handled this situation is as bad as it gets. And what makes it even worse is Brian Cashman, who made the move, doesn't even come out and tell everybody that he needs to get surgery.
He
makes Aaron
die.
Boone come out and tell everybody. Cashman, okay, it's a bad trade looking after the fact. Okay, I was with you. I like the trade. But you got to come out and say, this trade didn't work. He needs surgery. You know, it was a bust. Yeah, I gave up Ken Waldichuk, JP Sears, Luis Medina. It was a bad trade. You know, we're going to move on.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, this is the first time you've been fired up on the show. They've heard me fired up.
Yeah,
not even fired up.
I don't understand it. How do you go from April to February and not make any moves?
You're banging on the table.
Can you actually hear that?
Yes.
I apologize, folks.
You've been banging on the table.
I apologize, but I am in my a good mood. I'm bad. Excited.
No, you're fine. I love the passion, and that's why I wanted to do this episode before the World Baseball Classic, and we'll get into the World Baseball Classic later with my Metsies. But, I mean, you really went into it. They didn't really improve that much this year. They retained their guys, but they didn't really improve. The Yankees' rotation is going to be Gerrit Cole,
Carlos Rodon,
Severino, who's bound to get his injury.
Contract year two for Severino, so he might have some extra motivation.
I hope so. I mean, for Yankee fans, you've got to hope so. But what's your depth if one of those guys go down? That's my question. What is your depth?
Yeah, so Nestor is already down. As I said, he should be back for opening day.
You never know.
Domingo Herman has his issues. Nestor right now has his issues. The depth piece and the one guy who is not in the starting five that easily can be is Clark Schmidt, especially because their bullpen is pretty loaded right now. Tommy Canley, Marinaccio is healthy, Lou Trevino, Johnny Loaizica, and others. I won't name them all. But Clark Schmidt is that guy that if somebody goes down, he can fill a spot in the starting five. But, you know, it looked better when Frankie Montas and Nestor were both healthy, for sure.
All right. I think that covers everything for this portion of the segment because I want to save prospects and utility guys and who's going to be better and this, that, and the other for the second portion of the program here on the Ben and Ben Show. You have another minute before we take our first break. It is 10:19.
Okay, I got a quick rant here.
Go ahead.
Aaron Boone yesterday made it pretty clear
I'm stopping
that
you though when it hits 10:20
okay.
at the 11-second
Aaron Boone
mark.
Made it clear that Josh Donaldson is most likely going to be the starting third baseman. I don't understand that. If DJ LeMahieu is healthy, he is a 300 hitter. He is just as good on the field as Josh Donaldson. Ben Taylor, once again, tell me how that makes sense.
I don't know. You know, if Michael Kay said that he's like real, the Yankees love him. They love his glove. I listen to the Michael
LeMahieu
Kay
or
show.
Donaldson?
Donaldson.
Yeah,
they love his bat. They think they can get more out of it, and I think that answers your question.
But I just hates me to see LeMahieu on the bench when so good.
He's going to play every day. He's the utility guy. He's like in his mid-30s. I don't know if I want my utility guy to be in the mid-30s.
But where is he going to play? They got IKF and Gleyber, short and second.
They didn't really like him to begin with. Like, remember that couple years ago, there were a lot of people thinking that they weren't even going to sign him to the 5-year deal.
Yeah.
I felt like he took a team-friendly deal. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought he took a team-friendly deal. But I think that covers everything. You got anything else before we take our first break? You got about 11 seconds.
No, I'm very excited for the season. You know, I'll continue to talk about the Yankees, but
the season's not over because Frankie Montas got hurt. I think Yankee fans are overreacting about that.
I'm just mad about how they handled the situation.
It's not like Judge went down.
But I'm very excited that they're back. Beautiful weather down there in Florida. I wish I was with them. And I just hope there's no more injuries to come. But I think the lineup is looking good. I'm really excited for Harrison Bader. Very excited for him.
All right. This has been the Ben and Ben Show. When we get back, we're going to preview my New York Metsies. And I got a lot to say about that. Then we got into our little bit of a friendly competition. I asked Ben Wasserman to open a Google Doc to keep track of our what we think is going to be the best. So if he forgot, there's his reminder.
Opening it now.
All right. We'll be right back on the Ben and Ben Show, 1010 to 1040.
Hey, Ashlyn, have you ever heard of Cast Iron Media?
Cast Iron Media? No, what's that?
It's a premier sports media and marketing company right outside New York City in Westchester, New York, and they're looking to hire Penn Staters for their summer internship program.
No way! You have got to tell me more.
As a former intern, I can assure you that this will be more than your typical internship. You'll have the opportunity to work with the marketing team on various campaigns, gain exposure to ad and sales operations, all while networking with experts in the industry.
That sounds awesome. Finally, an opportunity that really excites me. How do I apply?
That's easy. Email juliana.foliano@castiron.media for more information. Again, that's Juliana, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-A, .foliano, F-O-G-L-I-A-N-O, at castiron, C-A-S-T-I-R-O-N, .media, M-E-D-I-A.
Inspiring.
Encouraging.
Motivating.
Moving.
When you hear a TED Talk, what do you think of?
Join TEDx PSU for our annual 13th conference located in Schwab Auditorium on February 12th. And did I forget to mention, tickets are free.
Hear from current Penn State students, professors, entrepreneurs, and more.
Covering ideas and stories that will allow us to experience the world that exists in the unknown.
If you had the opportunity to share a TED Talk, what would yours be about?
Get creative and think outside your comfort zone with Penn State's official TEDx conference. Get inspired and check out past TED Talks on TEDxPSU.com. Hear from Penn State students, professors, and others from around the globe. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Stay on the lookout for independent TEDx events coming up. If you had the opportunity...
Hey, Tommy, want some barbecue?
Hold on. Did you say barbecue in State College?
That's right, but not just any barbecue. This is the original Prospector's Mountain Nittany Rib Company. Choose from beef brisket, pulled pork, pulled chicken, or smoked sausage. And right now, Penn State students, show your ID to buy a sandwich. Get another half off every Tuesday and Thursday after 5 p.m. and all day Sunday. Excludes the Prospector Burger. Grab a buddy and grab a sandwich. Prospector's Barbecue, only 3.5 miles from downtown State College.
You're listening to the Ben and Ben Show. It's time to talk about some New York baseball.
All right, welcome back to the Ben and Ben Show on Calm Radio on this beautiful, 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 beautiful Thursday. Little warm. It's warm, but it's a little damp outside.
There's some rain incoming.
All right, yep. All right, let's get into my New York Mets. I got 3 minutes, so we're going to start the clock right at the 22nd mark. All right, here we go. Going back to last year. I don't know what the expectations were last year going into the regular season. I took it as, well, the Mets could win 90 games. Because when Jake went down last year, remember, he had a scapula injury last year, just to quickly go back to last season. I was like, oh, gosh. Then Scherzer got the hammy injury. Tyler McGill, people forget, started opening day for the New York Metropolitans. And he pitched kind of well in the first half. He was also a part of the combined no-hitter, the Philadelphia comeback. Really a lot of great moments. The St. Louis comeback. Keith Hernandez Day, which I was at, where it literally felt like 1986. The stadium was shaking. Like, the ball, the way it was thrown down to home plate, it was just actually kind of scary how eerily similar that was. Last time the Mets won before that on a walk-off error was October 1986, Game 6. Fun fact. Then we get to the end of the season. I actually want to talk about the trade deadline. They traded for reliever, I'm trying to remember his name. It really doesn't matter. He's not on the team anymore. From Baltimore. He stunk. Michael Givens was his name. Stunk. They could have had David Robertson. He went to the Phillies, and lo and behold, he helped the Phillies almost win a World Series. So there you go. They traded for Darren Ruff. He's still on the roster. He stinks, and J.D. Davis becomes a star. All right, that's fine. They did not have a good series in Atlanta. They got swept, and then the Padres punched us out, and Max Scherzer got booed off the mound. Enough said about that. Now let's go to the offseason. They lose Jake, which at the time I thought was a huge mistake. I'll be honest. I thought it was terrible. I didn't understand why the Mets did that. But now that he has a shoulder injury, left side tightness, which I've heard for years, oh, it'll only be a day. Hey, Rangers fans, it's not just going to be a day. It's not. It's not going to be a day. It is not going to be a day. I know this for a fact. It's just not going to be a day. Then they re-sign Diaz, they re-sign Nimmo, they get Justin Verlander to replace Jacob DeGrom. Enough said, he won a Cy Young last year. They got David Robertson, who they should have gotten at the trade deadline. They made up a nice Rule 5 draft pick that's going to help us in the bullpen. They might get Zach Britton, a former Yankee coming off Tommy John surgery. We all know him and Buck Showalter's history. And really the key for the Mets, they re-signed Jeff McNeil to an extension, which was a steal in my opinion. I'm not going to go into detail about that because if you go listen to last week's show at the Ben and Ben podcast on Spotify, I said it was a great deal and it was a steal. The key for the New York Metropolitans is health. If they're able to stay healthy, they should easily make the playoffs. They're not going to win the division. They're just not. It's Atlanta's division. There's too much respect for that. I'm not going to give the Mets any more credit. Like, oh my gosh, they're going to win the division. No, they don't deserve that anymore. Buck doesn't deserve it. I really don't think he should have won Manager of the Year. I think it should have went to Brian Snicker. Buck kind of showed why he gets fired from a job after every couple years. I'm rooting for Buck. He was the right hire at the time. I got five more seconds, but to put it straight, the New York Mets, I'm not picking to win the division until they actually do it.
Wow. And you missed one thing. Edwin Diaz is back.
I said that.
Oh, I did not hear that. Excuse me. But I don't know. I feel like the Mets can compete just as much as they did last season. Yeah, I think it's going to come down to the wire just as it did last season. I also give a slight edge to the Braves, but you have to remember, they lost Dansby Swanson. They're not as good as they were last year. I think the Mets probably are better with Justin Verlander. And I don't know.
They're not better if DeGrom's on the field. If DeGrom's on the field, they're not better.
But he's usually not on the field, so that's my point.
Well, Verlander's not on the field.
How many wins
either.
Did DeGrom get last season? Like six?
Yeah.
So Justin but Verlander can get more than six.
He was a part of 11 wins. He got a lot of no decisions.
All right.
So anyway, let's get on to it. Do you have anything to add about the Mets before we get into the interesting part of the show?
No, I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the National League. I think I'm a little bit more positive than you are.
No, all that matters to me is that you make the tournament. Yeah,
that's true.
All that matters. I just want I want Scherzer and Verlander. They also added Quintana from the Cardinals. Can't believe I missed him. He's the fifth starter. And this gets to my next point. I don't want the Mets pitchers to go play in the WBC. I really just don't think it's a good idea. For me, if a pitcher gets hurt because they're ramping up too fast, and this could just be the coach in me talking, and I feel the same way about the Yankees pitchers. That's why you should be happy that Nestor got that hamstring injury. The hitters can go play. The hitters, this helps them get ready faster because they're playing. Oh, Kode Senga. Why did I forget Kode Senga?
Yeah, that's a big piece.
They added him, but I actually mentioned him. Anyway, Senga's also not going, which I'm happy about. Brandon Nimmo's not going. Brandon could go. I think Brandon actually could use the reps. But my worst fear is that my pitchers are going to get hurt. And if Edwin Diaz gets hurt because he went to go play for his team Puerto Rico, I'm sorry. The World Baseball Classic doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't. It doesn't mean anything to me. If the U.S. gets eliminated, guess what? I'm not going to care.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a hard balance for a manager and an organization because these players have a lot of love and passion and respect
for
their country.
So play it in the offseason.
Well, yeah, they don't control that, but
no,
I agree with you.
MLB
I like the hitters.
That.
I like the hitters going. The pitchers do scare me, and I'm not surprised that Nestor is not going and got that injury. The Yankees didn't want him to go, whether that injury is 100% like for real or it's kind of like a Fugazi injury. The Yankees did not want Nestor Cortez to go, and I agree with you. I would be a little scared if one of my pitchers were going to pitch there.
No, the MLB could do something about it. Play it in the offseason. Play it in the winter. Go to go to Florida. You can play it in Florida because that's where you're playing it anyway. You're playing it in L.A. anyway. Go play it there. Doesn't matter.
But then they would have no offseason.
Then just don't play the World Baseball Classic. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. It doesn't bring any ratings
in. It does
in.
To them, though. That's the,
no, it
that's
does.
The
if,
thing.
If it meant something to them, they would play in the offseason. If it meant something to the players, they played in the offseason. And if it meant something to the owners, they played in the offseason. During the real downtime. Not now. All right, we got 10 minutes here. Let's get into it. Who will hit more home runs? Aaron Judge, and you have the Google Doc open?
I do.
All right, Aaron Judge or Pete Alonso?
Aaron Judge will 100% hit more home runs. He is going to get 45-plus. I think Alonso is going to have an unbelievable season.
Alonso hits 45.
But Aaron Judge is better than Alonso. He's bigger than Alonso, and he plays in a smaller stadium than Alonso.
Yeah, you get those cheap home runs at the stadium.
Yeah, well, if you look at his stats last season, that's not really how it worked out. But I just
wait a minute. We could get into this here. A lot of his 60 home runs, 62 home runs, I'm not taking anything away from him, were during garbage time. I could point out at least 15.
Garbage time in baseball?
Yeah, when no one's trying and they have the position player out there, or when it's like a six-run
lead.
No,
well, how many home runs was that, like three?
No, it was about 10.
No, okay, I got to look at that. But Aaron Judge is going to get more home runs than Alonso. I'm not saying he's going to get 60 like he did last season, but he will get more than Polar Pete.
I agree with you. Who will have a higher batting average, Jeff McNeil or DJ LeMahieu?
I think Jeff McNeil because he's going to get more plate appearances. He's going to play more. DJ LeMahieu's health scares me. He's my guy. He's going to hit over 300, but McNeil has just been more consistent for a longer period of time.
Well, the unbiased, I picked Alonso. I picked Judge, and I pick McNeil again. We're 2-for-2. Who will have more saves, Edwin Diaz or the Yankees closer?
Well, Clay Holmes definitely scares me a lot. Edwin Diaz was the best closer. He was the best bullpen pitcher in the MLB last season. It's easy to say Edwin Diaz, but I kind of want to be a contrarian, and I kind of want to disagree with you a little bit. I'm going to say Clay Holmes or Jonathan Loaisaka.
Are you nuts?
Yes, I am nuts to answer that question.
You do realize there's going to be a punishment if you lose this, right?
What's the punishment?
We're going to have to come up with it.
Okay, I'm saying Edwin Diaz.
No, you can't do that. You already picked your guy. You can't do that. I'm picking Edwin Diaz. You picked your guy. You have to stick with him now.
All right,
that's
Clay
on
Holmes,
you.
Let's go.
So, all right. Who will be on the team longer? Darren Ruff or Josh Donaldson?
That's 100% Josh Donaldson, as much as it hurts me, but you said it before earlier in the show. They love him.
They do love him, and that's why that one's going to get voided after those comments. We're not going to keep that one. That's not fair.
That was too easy.
Yeah, that's too easy. All right, this is the one where I think we're going to be different. Who will have more wins combining Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer?
Oh.
So those are my guys, and then your guys are
Colin Rodon.
Colin Rodon. Who will have more wins, meaning we're going to combine the two. Who will make more starts? Who will have a better ERA? Who will have more strikeouts? And I think I said who has more innings pitched.
Okay, well, Gerrit Cole doesn't get injured, knock on wood. Like, that is my guy. He does not get injured. He throws 200-plus innings a year. Carlos Rodon throws a lot. You know.
By the way, you got to pick one team or the other. I'm
the Yankees, 100%. Because they're going to pitch more games.
All right. But that doesn't matter though. I will say this: What if Scherzer and Verlander have a better ERA?
I think Gerrit Cole's going to win the Cy Young.
All right,
I think Gerrit Cole is going to quiet the haters.
Listen, he's Mr. Average since Spider Tag has been taken away, and that's numbers. That's numbers. That's not me criticizing him. Those are numbers.
He had a great
those
playoff.
Are facts. What are you talking about? He didn't have a great...
I think so.
I don't think he had a great playoff. I think... Listen, the errors kill. But come on. Like, a great playoff. Great playoff here.
I mean, he...
And not against the Astros.
Well, again, they didn't hit for him. Like, he would give up four runs, but they didn't hit.
All right.
Anyway, I think Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon are going to be the best duo. Scherzer and Verlander is absolutely scary, though.
I'm going to pick my guys. Because just because they don't make more starts doesn't mean they can still win the ERA category. And we'll come up with like a little point system here about that one. We'll come up with it later on. But I'm going to pick my guys. And that's really all we're going to say. All right. Utility area. Which utility guy will make a bigger impact? You can pick one for the Yankees, and I will pick one for the Mets. And we'll just have to look up their stats when this is over.
Okay, utility guys. You know, I think Oswaldo Cabrera if there's some injuries on the Yankees like there was last year, I think Oswaldo Cabrera can be a huge impact guy, especially if LeMahieu is an everyday starter. Oswaldo Cabrera can play any position on the field.
All right. So I'm going to pick Brett Beatty, and this will also go with my rookie of the year, the biggest prospect impact. But I actually don't know about prospect impact. Utility guy, we don't know where Brett Beatty is going to play. He might play left. He might play third. He's a young player. Escobar had his injury problems last year anyway. I'm going to pick Brett Beatty of the New York Mets. All right, rookie of the year. They don't have to win rookie of the year. I'm just saying for this individual team.
That's tough for the Yankees because I don't think there's going to be a lot of young players that are going to play every single day. I hope Oswald Peraza can play a lot. I don't really see it happening. But if I'm going to pick a young guy, you know, actually, I changed my answer. I'm going to go Ron Marinaccio. He pitched a lot last season, so he's not technically a rookie, but he's still youngest players.
If he's not a rookie, if he's...
Yankees don't really have a lot of rookies, though.
If this is his rookie of the year, well, they do. They called up guys near the end of the season. Your utility guy could be your rookie of the year if this is technically his rookie year. But we got to just go by – we got to get some contrarian bets here. I mean, not bets, choices here so the punishment can actually take place.
I'm going with Peraza.
All right. I'm going with – I don't know. I actually don't know because I could pick the guy that we rule fived.
Does Senga count as rookie?
No. Yes, because he could win rookie of the year, right?
I'm not sure. I mean, in your mind, is he a rookie? First year in the MLB?
No, he's not a rookie. If he can't win rookie of the year. Let me go with Beatty. No. I don't know if Alvarez is going to break the... Alvarez could be the biggest difference. So I'm going to go Francisco Alvarez.
I like that choice. He's got a good bat.
Because you picked a reliever anyway, so I actually could have a good shot. Because relievers could get hurt. All right. We did closer. We did utility guy. We did prospect.
Manager to get ejected more.
No, Buck didn't get ejected last year. That's not fair.
Oh, he's too calm.
All right, who will have more wins?
The Yankees. I think the Mets division is a whole lot harder with the Phillies and the Braves. The Yankees division, they have to worry about Tampa, and they have to worry about Toronto. But I don't think Boston is very good. I don't think Baltimore is a team that you should really be scared of. I think the Yankees are going to get...
Baltimore's going to take that jump.
Yeah, but they're not going to win more than 80
almost,
games.
They beat...
They're not going to win more than 80 games.
They beat you guys pretty good last year compared to what it used to be. But
yeah,
that's all right.
Competitive. I think the Yankees are going to get like 96 to like 101 in that
101?
Range. In that range.
How many wins did they get last year?
99.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with the New York Mets. I think they're going to win 98 games. And you have to put an actual win total on it.
Okay. I'm going to go... you know what? I'm going to go 100. 100. And 62.
That's pretty difficult.
That is very difficult.
I might actually have a shot here. I said 98. I said 97 wins. So whoever's closer with their win total. So if the Yankees win 90 games, your cutoff would be 98. And my cutoff will be, I said 97. My cutoff will be 94.
All right. Sounds good.
And if both these teams mess up that bad, we're just going to have to void that bet. Not bad. Void that choice. Let's see here. How many contrarian bets do we have? Not choices do we have here?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. We got different utility guys, different win totals, different ERA.
That's four.
We're the same.
Well, not ERA, like pitchers, that goes. That's
different
four.
Saves. So that's five, and then the rest are the same, which is five Judge and McNeil.
Five is fine. All right. Let's see here. Center field. Okay, I got the bet now. Who will be on the team longer? And we have to do this. Aaron Hicks or Darren Ruff? Let's go. Come on now. That is fair. That is fair.
That is fair. I don't see Aaron Hicks getting traded, though. That's like I could see Darren Ruff getting DFA'd or traded. I can't see Aaron Hicks getting DFA'd. Like, there would be a parade in the Bronx if he did get DFA'd. I got nothing against the guy, of course. But I just don't see him actually getting released. So I'm going to go with Darren Ruff just because he has less of an impact on his team.
I'm going to go Darren Ruff too. I was hoping you'd say Aaron Hicks to show how much. But all right. Who will have a better season managing?
Oh, Aaron Boone makes a lot of questionable mistakes. You know, he changes up his lineups.
This would also go with win total too.
Okay.
Who will have the better season managing?
Buck Showalter or Aaron Boone?
You know, I think
you're
Buck
picking
Showalter.
Aaron Boone.
No, okay, you're fine. I'm picking Aaron Boone.
You have to pick Aaron Boone. If you think your team's going to win 100 games, you
Aaron
don't
Boone.
Have a choice.
I'm picking Aaron Boone, but I'm going to bash him when he makes those mistakes throughout the season. But I'm picking Aaron Boone.
That's fine. But I was about to say, you can't say Buck Showalter
you're right.
You predicted team to win 100 games.
Got to stay accountable.
That's easy. All right, for me, it's Buck. He's Buck Showalter. That's all I got. All right. This is the last bet here. Last choice. And then we'll come up with the punishment before we leave. Our last show, we'll have the punishment picked out. Who will be the better third starter? Kodai Senga, or whoever the Yankees' third starter is. I don't know how your rotation is going to stack
so,
up.
So, okay, I think that's Luis Severino in my mind. I'll make it quick. No, I was just saying, like, who the third starter is. I don't know what to expect from Senga. His fastball isn't, like, as fast as other pitchers. What does he throw, like 94, 95 compared to like 99, 100? I'm going to say Severino, contract year. He wants to prove that he is a guy that they should pay.
Have you ever heard of Masahiro Tanaka?
I love him. Great playoff performer.
Was it Masahiro Tanaka like unhittable his first year from coming over?
Masahiro Tanaka was incredible.
All right. You just give it to me. We're going with Senga. We're going to go with Kodai Senga for all the reasons Ben Washington just said. Japanese imported pitchers are incredible their first year. It's just a fact. They don't struggle. The next year is when they struggle. All right, that's the show, everybody. Ben and Ben Show, Com Radio, 1041. We went a little over today, but that's because we had to do our last bet. All right, coming up next is The Analytical Fan at 11 o'clock. And that's really it, guys. I'll be back on with Jake at 2 o'clock for Game On, where we're going to have to hear him cry about his Philadelphia Eagles. But until then, get ready for The Analytical Fan coming up, and we'll see you next week.